Welcome to Move Wild Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Clapson. The aim of this podcast is to explore, learn, and spread the message of rewilding and natural movement so that we as humans can live in more alignment with our nature and reclaim what it means to be fully alive. The modern world has stripped away so much that used to nourish our mind, body, and soul. This podcast will help illuminate how we can reclaim and restore our innate, wild, capable, and strong spirit. Thanks for joining me on this journey. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Move Wild Podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in to today's Friday episode. So today I'm sharing a few of my thoughts on learning, sparked and inspired by a book that I've been reading, and also just what's been happening with me recently. So a few announcements before I get into kind of the meat of today's podcast. One is that my new book is out, How to Thrive in the Modern World. So these are the key principles and practices that I put together in a guidebook, several chapters outlining and giving you guys the tools that you need to really navigate through and develop health and vibrancy and vitality in this world that we live in. So I'm going to put a link in the show notes for you guys to head over and get a free copy of that book and start implementing those tools and strategies. So make sure that you do that either after the show, or you can pause now and head down to the show notes and get a free copy now. I'm really excited that I've launched that and that I'm getting it out to more and more people, and I've been getting really good feedback from quite a few people reaching out and telling me how they've implemented it and how they're using it. Second announcement is that I am going to be teaching and speaking at the Embodiment Conference, which is going to be happening between the 14th and the 25th of October. There's going to be, I think, 1,000 speakers in total there. Some incredible, incredible speakers. Paul Check, Aaron Alexander, Joseph Fruchek from Fighting Monkeys. So many different cool, insightful conversations or teachings and presentations that I'm really looking forward to seeing. Gabor Mate will also be there, so I'm super stoked that I have had the opportunity to go and teach there and present there. So you can get free tickets to that event if you go to the Embodiment Conference website. I'll put a link also to that in the show notes. But yeah, super stoked about that and just wanted to announce that. So on to today's episode. Today I wanted to share something that I was kind of inspired by and have been learning in a new book that I've been reading. And the book is kind of centered around indigenous thinking and kind of thought patterns and ways of understanding and ways of thinking and ways of problem solving, essentially. And one thing that really struck me and that I've been seeing as a pattern as I've kind of, since I've read that book, and as I've kind of put myself in different situations, and I see this as a real pattern and as a flaw in many ways in many people's thinking or learning process, is not contextualizing knowledge or not contextualizing an understanding of something and how to apply that to a new situation in order to learn or in order to solve a problem. So what is meant by that is, what often happens, especially in the Western world and in the kind of learning and education system that we've been brought up in, is that we have a lot of knowledge or a lot of concepts that are thrown at a group of people or a bunch of different people without giving them the tools that they need to be able to contextualize that knowledge to their situation. And because of that, we don't have as much adaptability in the way that we think, and we don't have as much adaptability in the way that we apply knowledge, and we don't see that perhaps some knowledge is, quote-unquote good for certain situations, but that same knowledge can be quote-unquote bad for other situations. It's just more how you apply it. So this whole process of contextualization, it's very natural movement, I think, is a great teacher of this, because you have a skill that, is a broad concept, a technique, because, it's only if, for example, I'm teaching a technique in a gym setting, that's the context, and I need to understand that as I'm teaching that is the context, and I, as the coach, it is my kind of duty to ensure that the person learning that skill knows that the specific way that I'm teaching it in that context might actually be not the right way to apply it in a different context outside of the gym, for example. And there's different ways to apply different concepts and techniques and knowledge to different concepts. So contextualizing knowledge and contextualizing learning is really, really, really important. And understanding that, you know, when you hear something from someone, when someone tries to communicate to you a concept, even with what I'm doing here, we need to understand that that concept, if we want to, you know, if it's a good concept and we want to take it and use it in our lives, then we need to contextualize it to our specific situation and we need to adapt it to our specific situation. We can't the world is an extremely complex place and we can't have simple answers for complex problems. And that's one of the big things that he also touches on in that book, which is called Sand Talk, by the way, for all of you listening and want to check it out. I'll write that in the show notes as well, but I really loved listening to this book, and I think it's pretty powerful in the way that he kind of shifts around, or he shifted around my understanding of thinking just through reading it. But yeah, if someone is teaching you a concept, then we need to be critical and like critical thinkers in the sense that we need to contextualize that concept and then apply it to our own situation. So that was one aspect of learning that I found really, really interesting from that book, and I think really applicable. And I feel like I knew it all along, but I didn't necessarily fully understand how many concepts are communicated in this world, especially in the education system, that are kind of very simple answers or very simple contexts or concepts, sorry, given as like this, you know, the answer to everything without giving people the understanding of how to contextualize it. So that's one interesting point I thought I'd touch on. Another one is being able to read patterns. So this is, you know, one of those things I've talked about it a little bit with Bill von Hippel, and just, I guess, hunting plays into it in a massive way, and our evolutionary history plays into it in a massive way, in the sense that being able to read patterns as human beings is what has enabled us to really be able to adapt and thrive and do many of the things that we do today, is that kind of pattern mind or that pattern thought process. And what pattern thinking or what pattern recognition requires is the ability to almost, you know, come out of a situation, not fully, because it's impossible to not, you know, to be purely an observer, but to at least be able to see a situation or an environment from afar in and detached enough so as to be able to read the patterns of what is going on in that environment, and then being able to learn through recognizing those patterns, like understanding, okay, here's where the birds migrate at a certain time of year because A, B, and C is happening in the environment. And then that means that, you know, like if we're talking from a hunter-gatherer context, that means that I'll be able to, or it will be most efficient for me to hunt them at this time of year because that's when they will have the most fat on them. That's, you know, that's a very basic, obviously not any example that I'm drawing from in the real world. Or it could be, you know, the traffic in my city is, you know, most prolific, or there's a lot of traffic at 8 a.m. So that's a pattern that I'm picking up on. Maybe it would be wise for me to, like, go in my car at 7 a.m. or at 9 a.m. so that I miss that traffic. Those are all patterns that we don't necessarily pick up on unless we remove ourselves just a little bit from a situation and are able to read an environment. So that kind of pattern thought and pattern thinking is really crucial if we want to learn and if we want to kind of increase and our awareness, increase our learning ability, because when we can pick up on patterns, it becomes a lot easier to act within an environment. If I understand, like, okay, here's a very basic one. If I understand that it's going to be optimal for my for my hormonal cycles and my bodily rhythms for me to be awake during the day and then asleep at night, then I'm going to be far healthier than all the organisms in my environment that don't recognize that pattern, or all the other humans in my environment that don't recognize that pattern and don't understand that that's the cycle of nature and don't understand that that is how health is created, or one of the ways that health is created. So, you know, pattern recognition obviously goes to the most complex levels, you know, where it could be like reading and predicting stock market changes or migratory changes or climate changes according to different weather patterns, or it could be something as simple as like, yeah, what time does, you know, is most of the traffic there and how can I avoid that. Just being able to read patterns is an incredible thing, and it's something that we sometimes miss out on and sometimes can't detach enough to pull back a little bit and see, okay, what's the pattern happening here, how can I better orient myself in this environment in order to navigate it better. And then one last one I want to share with you today, also from the book, is kind of this idea of memory and memory being stored in relationships rather than in our mind. And I found this one really, really fascinating, and I really love it, and I've kind of been thinking about it a bit more and experimenting with it more and more, and just, yeah, thinking about it, and I really love it. But the whole concept is that rather than, well, as far as this is how I'm interpreting it, and I'm not speaking for the author in any way, shape, or form, but so understanding how memory and how kind of we at least hold on to information, that happens within a relationship, and it's not happening purely in our mind. So what's meant by that is, I'll give you an example. So if I have, you know, if I've learnt something really crucial to my development as a human being with a certain person, I might not store that memory in, you know, in my mind in a place where I can recall it by just thinking, what's that thing that I learned that was really crucial? But I can restore or recall that memory in my mind if I think of that person or if I'm around that person. And that whole concept is that we store information or we store memories within relationships to other things. So it doesn't have to be a person, it could be, you know, a place. It could be that I learned something crucial, or I remember something, there was an experience that happened to me that was, you know, important for me to remember in a certain place, so that whenever I think of that place, there's a whole flood of knowledge and a whole flood of kind of learning that comes back through, and there's so much kind of knowledge that can be stored in those kind of memories, whereby we're not thinking of the specific lesson, but when I think, oh, you know, that time that I was, you know, in Sydney, or that time that wherever I was down at the beach, and I think of the beach, and then I remember that lesson that I learned, or that knowledge that I gained, or even just having the sensation and the feeling of what it feels like to be down at the beach, and that puts me in a different state, and then that unlocks and gives me new perspectives and helps me to understand new concepts. So I found that really interesting and just a fascinating concept to kind of dive a little bit deeper into, is understanding that memory, or yeah, that memory is stored in relationships to other things, and that having strong connection to other things, places, people, whatever it is, and forming learning around those things, around those experiences, is going to help us remember things that are important to us more. If I just remember, or if I just learn something without enough experience or without enough of a context to put it into, it's going to be harder for me to remember it, where as opposed to if I learn something with someone, or if I learn something somewhere, and it's an experience that I can recall, and then I can recall that learning process and that knowledge through being in that place or being with that person. So those are just three of many, 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 many concepts that he talked about in that book that I can recall right now, today. And I really, really love that book, and I highly recommend getting it. And I thought those would be interesting to share. So I hope you found that valuable and useful. As I said, I'll put the name of that book down in the show notes. But again, thank you all so much for tuning in to today's podcast. Hopefully you get free tickets to the Embodiment Conference where I'll be speaking and presenting. That conference will be starting next week, so I'm really excited for that. So I'll see you there, or I'll catch you on the next podcast coming out on Tuesday. So again, thank you all so much for tuning in. Have an epic weekend, and I'll catch you soon.